Slanderers have a basic motivation. They're insecure people who seek to raise their own status by demeaning somebody else.
But Dr. Tony Evans says the Christian status isn't measured against other people.
You don't have to reduce others to lift yourself, because nobody can have what God has planned for you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. As Dr. Evans said, people who talk others down are just trying to talk themselves up, whether they realize it or not. But that's the opposite of what happens. And we'll find out why, as he tells us today how to recognize symptoms of unholy speech.
A woman went to the doctor one day because she was very sick and she'd been bitten by an animal. The doctor looked at where she was bitten and did all the tests, and it came out that she had rabies. And it was at an advanced stage. The doctor said, "It doesn't look good." She said, "Doctor, then may I have a piece of paper?" The doctor brought in a piece of paper, and she started writing down names. The doctor said to her, "Are you writing down the names of the people you want to put in your will?" She said, "No, I'm writing down the names of the people I want to bite." Because one of the ways that you demonstrate how sick you are is with your mouth. With my mouth. And how our words and our speech damages others. We've all been hurt by something said, done, by words that affected us negatively, emotionally. Not only have we received damage, but we've probably done our share as well. There's a reason for that. But I wanted to talk to you today about symptoms of unholy speech. How do you know if your talk is not what it ought to be? A couple of key factors in terms of its effect on other people. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." In this one verse, we're introduced to two speech problems that we affect others with and that others affect us with, and that is gossip and slander. A gossip is one who sends secrets, who passes on information, who betrays a confidence, like Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. It says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets," a gossip, "and he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." So picture this now. Somebody comes to you and says, "Now I want to tell you something. But you can't tell anybody else, okay?" And you say, "Okay." Now, they've already let you know this is a secret. But when you hear it, it's so good, so juicy, that you just can't keep it to yourself. You are a gossip if you are a revealer of secrets and not a trustworthy person. Because you told that person that you would honor the privacy of this discussion. And your passing it on was done without their approval, which means you could not be trusted because you are a talebearer. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." This is a whisperer. This is somebody who say, "Guess what I just heard? You know, guess what I just heard?" They whisper it. So they're passing on a secret. So since it's a secret, they think talking softly to somebody else keeps it a secret, even though it was passed on. He says gossip is like a dainty morsel. You ever been to a dessert bar? Nothing but dessert. And all of it's sweet. It's sweet to the taste. And so you want to get all these different, you want a smorgasbord of sweetness. It's dainty. Them nice little tiny dainty pieces. Or a juicy steak. Because gossip is always juicy. You know, it's always got some juice in it. And so he says, because it is juicy. The problem, he says, is it goes down to the innermost parts of the body. That is, to be a gossiper is revealing your own contamination. Paul ran into a big problem in the church at Corinth. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, he says, I'm just depressed that when I come there and I come to the church, Corinth Bible Fellowship, that I'm going to hear a whole lot of gossip. He was concerned that this was a gossiping church. And of course, church is where you can find you some gossip now. He says in chapter 16, verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Have you ever seen gossip do that? Separate people, cause you to be mad at somebody because somebody told you something that somebody told them. And then what we do to legitimize gossip is include prayer. I got something I want you to pray about. Now, what's interesting is you're telling somebody to pray about something you have not yet prayed about yourself. Be careful to include God in the sins of your mouth. Because once you bring in prayer, you're including God. And you're passing on information for the joy of sharing it to people who can do nothing about it except pass it on themselves. A gossip does not want to help or heal. They want to enjoy the information. If there is not tied to the dissemination of information, specific designs to help fix a problem, but merely to enjoy the rumor of the issue, then that is a sinful use of the tongue. And that's why he says so much about it. Many say, I promise not to say anything unless it is good. And boy, is this good. It reminds me of the story of the four preachers. The four preachers had gone on a little retreat and they decided to have a confession time. They wanted to just talk about their own struggles, their own sins, and get clean and clear before the Lord. And so the first preacher said, well I'll start, I've got a struggle with gambling. I gamble online. And I need you guys to pray for me. It's okay. We're gonna pray for you. Second guy says, I got trouble with anger. I can't control my temper. I'm hollering at my wife. I'm hollering at my kids. I'm mad all the time. I need you guys to pray for me. We said, okay, we'll pray for you. The other guy says, I got a female problem. Struggle with pornography some, and I need help. Pray for me. He said, we'll pray for you. The fourth guy didn't say anything. He said, well, it's your turn. He says, you really want me to share? Yes, we all shared. It's your turn. Okay. Well, I got a problem with gossip and I can't wait to get out of here. Because I'm going to tell everything I just heard up in here. So you got to watch who you talk to. Because you want to communicate to trustworthy people who are not out to hurt, but to help. And that's why passing on information to people about people who you yourself are unwilling to talk to yourself speaks of a motivation that is wrong. So some of this is motivation, because sometimes you're not in a position to help. You're not in a position to fix it. But when you just pass on information, to pass on information for the pleasure of passing on information, that makes you an untrustworthy gossip. And the problem with gossip is like throwing up feathers. Once the wind catches it, it's hard to pull it back. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He wanted the personal enjoyment of betraying a friend. The Bible says one of the reasons people gossip in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, is that they are idle. Paul tells Pastor Timothy, watch out for idle people, because they don't have nothing to do but talk about everybody else. So the telephone has become their friend, and they want to talk about everybody else. And you have to understand, when you entertain a gossiper, then you have joined forces with them in the gossip.
When Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll tell us why that's a far more serious situation than most believers realize. First, though, I want to let you know about the book he's written as a follow-up to our current series. It's called Watch Your Mouth, A Practical Look at Ways to Tame Your Tongue. As we've been hearing, the things we say can sometimes be as destructive as dynamite. But our words can also bring blessing, encouragement, and healing to the people around us. This book will teach you the lesson that every superhero has to learn, to use your powers for good. Along with it, you'll get the day-by-day study guide with insights and exercises that'll make the content come alive, and a resource DVD that features bonus content from Tony. Best of all, you can get this entire bundle today as our gift to you when you come alongside The Alternative and support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any amount. This offer runs out on Friday, so be sure to visit us at TonyEvans.org right away and make the arrangements. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. Don't go away. Dr. Evans will be right back.
Connect with Jesus in a deeper way, not just by reading about him, but by actually experiencing him through the power of world-class teaching. The Tony Evans Training Center provides online learning in an understandable and refreshing way. Make the pages of your Bible come alive through courses covering a wide range of subjects. Isn't it time to begin a biblical adventure? We're here to guide you as you go. Just visit us at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org to receive your first month free. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
In Romans 1, the word gossip is put next to the sin of homosexuality. Now, we would say about the sin of homosexuality, ooh. But being a gossip, well, you know, everybody does that. In other words, God doesn't do it. In fact, let me turn to Romans 1. Because in Romans chapter 1, he talked about the unnatural use of men with men and women with women in verses 26 and 27. Then he says in 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. But wait a minute, notice, he didn't just include gossips in the list. He said all these other things are true because they are gossips. So he says, if gossip is how you roll, he says that's because you have a depraved mind, you're full of unrighteousness, you're full of wickedness, you're full of greed, you're full of envy, you're full of murder, you're full of strife, you're full of deceit, because you're a gossip. So gossip have a whole bunch of stuff wrong with them, not just gossiping. And then it comes right to our next one, the next word, slanderers. Slanderer is gossip's twin. That's why they're linked together. To slander is to speak evil of another in order to defame them, to defame their person, to defame their reputation. In other words, it's speaking evil to hurt. Gossip is spreading information that was supposed to be secret. A slanderer doesn't have to whisper, because he may or she may not be trying to keep a secret. In fact, she or he may want to tell you how they think and do not care how loud it is, because they want to hurt you. They don't want to help you. They don't want to improve you. They don't want to benefit you. They don't want to correct you. They want to hurt you. To talk about others with the intent of damaging them, their name, their reputation, their character, whether or not it is true. Here's the deal. Even if it's true, what is my motivation? We're in a political season, and in political season, folk looking for stuff on other folk. Why? So they can put it in the media. Why? So they can damage their reputation. Why? So that that person can lose and I can win. So they're looking to damage. They're studying for the purpose of damaging. How can I hurt you? It may be true. What you are saying may be true, but the question is, are you slandering with the truth? It's not just, is it true? It is, am I hurting you? Now, let me tell you why this is serious. Psalm 15. Oh, Lord, who may abide in your tent, fellowship with you? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friends. God says, you're not qualified to worship me if you're a slanderer. When you show up to worship me, I'm checking out your tongue. That goes back to James. He says, you bless God, but then you curse people made in the image of God. In other words, you're trying to hurt, not to help. And so slandering is a serious thing. How serious? 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, don't associate with slanderers. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18 says, a slanderer is a fool. Slanderers have a basic motivation. They're insecure people who seek to raise their own status by demeaning somebody else. In other words, if I can push you down, I can lift me up. So in order for me to feel better about me, I have to lower how I think and how others think about you so I can raise me up to feel better and make other people think I am better than the person I'm putting down. The Bible talks about such a person in 3 John, Diotrephes. It says he loved to have preeminence, top billing, among the brethren, and so he made it hard for everybody else. In other words, to keep himself high, he kept others low. A slanderer. Now, okay, let me clarify something. When he says a slanderer, he's talking about this is how you roll. He's not talking about an occasional slip. He's talking about this is how you can be identified. You are a gossip because that's what you do. You are a slanderer because that's what you do. That's how you roll. That's how you operate. See, once you know the truth that promotion comes from God, Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, or Isaiah 14, verse 27, then you don't have to reduce others to lift yourself, because if you're in fellowship with God, nobody can have what God has planned for you. See? So you don't have to force other people down to lift yourself up. That's the sign of immaturity, because you don't believe God is big enough to give you yours. As one friend used to say, you never lose a race just because another horse runs. James 4, 6 condemns defaming your brother. And he says, verse 19, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, so somebody's gone the wrong way, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Things are only going to get worse. Let's catch him before he goes further. And that reminds us of a story in the Bible. The story in the Bible is the three sons of Noah in Genesis 9. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. It says their father was laying in his nakedness uncovered. And Ham came in and saw it. And Ham went out from seeing his father's nakedness and slandered his father to his brothers. His brothers came in, back in, and covered, our word in James, covered their father's nakedness. Ham slandered his father's nakedness. God came down and said, Ham, because you have done this, because you've shamed your father, Canaan, your son is cursed. We're going to pass down another father-son shaming. You slandered your dad. And that was an insult to Almighty God. And for that, there is a curse. In other words, slandering, you're trying to hurt, but you may be telling the truth with the pain you're inflicting. It may be true. But bearing false witness is a lie. Bearing false witness is intentionally seeking to deceive to another's detriment. It is to take a situation and to spin it in such a way that false data is given and a lie can get legs quickly and take flight. I tell you, one of the main ways we do false witnessing is we encouch it in a joke. I'm just kidding. Well, let's see what God has to say about that. Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? Using a joke to deceive. Couching it in humor to trick. An unholy speech. One, gossip, passing on rumor. Slander, defaming another, whether true or false. False witness, intending to tell a non-truth in order to hurt. When that characterizes you or me or us, then we break fellowship with God and we aren't able to come into his holy temple. May we be an environment that helps, not hurts, that wants to heal, not maim, without compromising the truth. When we speak it, may it be so that people are built up, not torn down.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up a message he calls Symptoms of Unholy Speech. The full-length version of this lesson is available on CD. Just check with us for details on getting a copy. Better yet, you can request it as a part of our current 11-part teaching collection, Watch Your Mouth. All the information you need is waiting for you at tonyevans.org. While you're there, don't forget to request that brand new book I told you about earlier, also called Watch Your Mouth, a look at what God can build into our lives when we control what comes out of our mouths. As I mentioned, it's our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with any contribution, large or small. It's the perfect follow-up to what we've been learning on the broadcast, but be sure to request it right away before this special offer runs out on Friday. You can do that online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. A lot is said about the importance of honesty, but a lot of what's said isn't all that honest, and that's not just true in political campaigns. So tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about the danger in the lies we're told and the lies we tell. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.